When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Let's listen to Nick Sirianni, because when we had him on the program 2 days ago, we asked him about last year's collapse as it relates to this team. Does it not? Here's the way I framed the question. Here's his answer. So, Nick, 10-1 last year, and you're getting close to that record again, now 8-2. Does the last year thing, the way it, you know, ultimately fell apart, will that factor into your messaging in the next few weeks to make sure the guys remember it and avoid it, you know, from happening again in the coming months?
No, we've learned from last year's mistakes, and that's what this whole beginning part of this year has been. And so, you know, we learn from our mistakes. We don't dwell on them. We don't think back on them. But we've already learned from that, like, just the same way as we don't look too far into the future. We're worried about the Rams, and that's it. Last year we had a bad ending to last year. You know, the same reason I wouldn't talk about 22 and how we ended that year, where we, you know, ended on a hot streak, or 21, where we ended up, I think, like 7-2 to finish up things. So just the same way, we won't go back into that, because again, we've learned from those, and that's what we've been focused on, of learning from our past mistakes. And now here we are. Let's go beat the Rams.
John, what do you make of his answer? Are you good with we dealt with it, we got it, or do you think it is bring it back into focus because they're kind of back here again?
I don't know. I don't know how I feel about Nick.
No, I don't know how I feel about this one either.
Carries me over to this answer.
I'm confused on this one. Ben, are you confused on this one? Should the coach use it as a message now, or did they deal with it in August and it's they're past it?
I think they're past it.
You're good with his answer and his approach.
I am. I think that's the only approach you have to have, is you just focus on the Rams.
Well, you don't have. Well, but there is something to be said for, hey guys, we were just about right here last year.
I would not, because it's not the same people.
Well, but it's, a lot are the same.
Well, yeah, but it's not Saquon. It's two different coordinators.
New coordinators.
But about two-thirds of the team is the same.
But last year felt like such a massive disaster, and everyone knows that there was such disharmony, and like a bomb went off on both sides of the football with this massive switch halfway through the season.
Look, there's something to be said.
They also know it. Like, you don't need to remind Jalen Hurts that it fell apart. You know what I mean?
I do.
I think it's there. I think you don't need to tell them when they're sitting at 8-2 what happened last year.
Yeah, I agreed with Nick on that one.
And you're also talking about a lot of the same parts are back. Not when you're talking about two different coordinators that are extremely drastic, and Saquon, who is the biggest difference maker of them all.
Right.
Well, I'm curious where, you know, everyone listening, where you stand. If you were the coach, would you bring it back into focus as a moment to say, can't have that happen again, guys? Or it's like, did it, addressed it, done. And there's the argument for, don't even want to remind them of it. You know, there is that argument.
Yeah, I like keeping the taste out of our mouth to some
degree. There's something to be said for that. There is.
Because the vibe right now, we talk about it when we talk to Nick. Hey, it feels very different talking about the game now that we've won five in a row.
You don't want to mess with
that. Six.
Yeah.
Six in a row. All right, Corey Clement joins us shortly. Let's go to the phones. It's 94WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Let's go to our buddy Black Gritty. What's going on, Black Gritty?
Good morning. Fight your urge to talk for a second, Joe. Just let me cook. It was great seeing you guys yesterday. I can vouch for the fact that Joe DeCamera actually tried to go into his pocket and tip the cook. So he does tip, and you should tip the guy at the buffet.
I
will say this. When I go out to eat, I always ask for a manager, because they never get praised. They always get people to complain. So I always ask for a manager and say my service is good when it is. So that way it offsets people like Joe DeCamera that might go in there and say they mess up your meal.
That's very thoughtful, Black Gritty.
That is nice.
I'm a thoughtful guy. It is what it is.
It never would have occurred to me, though. That really is a thoughtful thing to do. They always hear the complaints. They never hear someone saying, hey, you know what? I just had really great service.
Well, I watched somebody out at dinner, and this guy was reaming this girl a new one, and she looked like she was about to cry, and she was nothing but pleasant to me. The guy asked for the manager, yelled about her, and I was like, she's about to lose her job. So I asked for the manager, like, look, She was perfect for me. That guy was having a bad day. And after that, I just continued to do it. So anybody else, feel free to do it. Knock yourself out. Now, back to the real world. Joe DeCamera, I know that when you're in the bathtub, you listen to yourself because you're that kind of guy. The fact that you talk about Joel and this hope and the way you talk about Jalen Hurts, I'm going to have you fitted for a straitjacket, bro. Jalen Hurts is a grown man that stands up there, has so much accountability and responsibility, where Embiid is coming from the Kalanda Clowns, the Brett Clowns.
Yeah, I'm not commingling them.
You don't have to commingle. You're trying to commingle 10-1 last year right now. See what I'm saying about you? You like to conflate different things. I just
come on, man.
Again, sit there and let me cook. I'm going to finish myself. You do it all the time. I know you're in the radio every day. But listen to yourself. You sound crazy. Joel Embiid is never going to win anything. He's coming from a losing situation. He's a loser. Long live the franchise. The process is dead.
All right, Black Great, let me ask you a question. Hold on, let me ask you a question. Because I clearly much more respect the way Jalen Hurts goes about his business than Joel.
I can't tell.
But, well, I'm telling you that. But let me ask you a question. Would you agree that the Sixers have a better chance to win a championship in the next 3 years with Joel Embiid than without him? Would you agree with
no,
that statement?
No, because he's not a winner, and the best ability is available.
You really won't give me that.
Joe, I think there are a lot of people who feel like Joel Embiid will never, ever, ever win a championship, and anything is a better chance.
I understand, but Blackerty, I want to just really drill down. You're really telling me that you think they have an equal or better chance in the next 3 years to win without him than with him. You're really telling me that.
Equal, not better.
Okay, equal, so 0% both ways, basically?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Hey,
I'd rather suffer with Smiley and McCain, okay? I'd rather do that.
Well, you'd rather start it now. If you don't believe Embiid's ever going to win, why not get it started?
It's a reasonable argument. I do understand it. Give me an answer.
One last thing. Yeah. Shout out to Corey Clement, local Glassboro kid. You know I'm Owen from Glassboro.
Yep.
And shout out to his uncle that called and ripped me the one time when I called your show to rip him after having a bad game. His uncle's a legend. go ahead and ask me the question.
All right, what is the best female character ever in a sports movie? On this, the anniversary of Rocky coming out in 76, and of course Goldie Hawn's 79th birthday today, and her tremendous character in the football movie Wildcats. Who is the best female character ever in a sports movie?
One of the greatest performances of theater of the mind, when they talk about their seventh and sixth grade performances, Joe DeCamera. I can't believe that's not
people are.
Wow.
You know what, man?
As if.
I just, you know.
Take caution in your tone.
What you talking about, Willis?
I just, you know, I mean.
The glory days.
You should keep your mouth shut.
Ben, what
Goldie
people...
Hawn, 79, entering wheelhouse for you.
She's been in the wheelhouse for 20 years.
All right, let me ask you a question. Goldie or Elizabeth Taylor, who's dead?
Taylor or Shoe? Taylor?
Yes. Taylor.
I'd go with live Goldie over dead Taylor.
But
I'd go with alive Taylor.
Is
over,
it close?
No, alive Elizabeth Taylor from about 50 years ago is one of the top 5 or 10 of all time.
Stunningly beautiful.
One of the top 5 or 10.
Those eyes were ridiculous.
She was a little crazy.
Yeah.
Cray cray. You know, 8 marriages. A little crazy.
You could have married her, maybe.
Name the last guy she married.
You could have married her twice.
Well, it was like the construction worker. Whatever. Construction worker, yeah.
Larry
Fortensky.
That's it. Yeah.
Larry Fortensky. Let's go to the phone.
Richard Burton was twice, right?
Twice.
Yeah.
Did learn for the first
you
time.
You remarry a guy a second time, you are crazy.
Yeah. Seriously, Rhea. That is... What are we doing?
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So, John, how many people knew yesterday that your girlfriend was at Chickies and Pete's?
I don't know. We talked
about
it. I had a lot of people being like, is that Richie's girlfriend there? Is that Richie's girlfriend?
I kept my mouth shut, but
I wanted to introduce myself, but I was like, I'm going to wait and let John do it. So I didn't do it. I wanted to say hi, but I was like, I'm going to let John do it.
Well, Devin and I spoke to her. So, you know,
well, I spoke to her as well, but I didn't go tell the masses, hey, everybody, this is John's girlfriend.
No, I'm talking about employees. Like, basically, the entire WIP team was like, Ike was coming up. He's like, hey, is that her? Is that her?
Oh,
Jack's
really?
Like, is that her? Yeah, it was like everyone at WIP was like, is that her? So,
oh,
yeah.
That's amazing. No, I am.
Followed up by, she's really pretty.
Yeah. You did well, buddy.
She sure is. I am Alicia Roberts' boyfriend.
Did you just say her name?
Wow.
Wow.
Yes.
Was that unintentional?
I don't think it was. That seemed very intentional.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. She was working
last night, and she was there at the event that you guys were there.
Yeah.
And it was
sort of an amazing thing.
Yeah, and I'm out, you know, running to volleyball and the grocery store. And
that's great, man.
I missed you guys desperately.
Well done. All right, so look, we got a lot happening. By the way, it was great seeing so many people yesterday at Borgata, whether it was the early part of the day while we did our show or later in the day.
Chickie and Pete's.
Oh, I'm sorry, Chickie's and Pete's. Yeah, Borgata tomorrow. Chickie's and Pete's last night in South Philadelphia. Great time.
You've had a long week. You're all mixed up this week.
Good job by Jordan Mulata and Lane Johnson showing up. And Brandi Graham.
They spent the entire time. Like, yep. We were supposed to be guest bartending, and we couldn't because they did it all. It was awesome.
They blocked the sun. So,
yeah. It is unbelievable to be around those guys.
They are massive.
Especially when you get, like, Hugh and Ike next to them.
I know.
They look tiny.
They look tiny. Like, next to Jordan, they literally looked small.
Those guys are the big guys, and they are so big.
And the thing, John, they line up on a line with Dickerson and Becton.
It's unbelievable.
I don't know if there's ever been a line bigger, at least with those four.
I think I understand now why Jalen can't hit sometimes the mid-range things.
Yeah.
How do you see over them?
Look,
there were lines back in the 80s that were, I mean, assisted by chemicals and everything else that weren't anywhere close to as big
as the Cowboys. Early 90s Cowboys were really big. Now, Stepnoski, I think, was small, but Nate Newton
and Eric Williams, Larry Allen was big.
Yeah.
But we're bigger than that. Oh, remember, Nate Newton, it was a huge deal because he was 360 pounds.
Yeah.
This O-line, I mean, I'm positive that's... Well, our center is, 315,
but four of the five are way above average.
I think they're way over 360.
Well, we were in training camp in the trailer, and those guys came out, and Becton came out, and Mailata came out. I'm like, this is ridiculous.
It is. It's stunning.
I mean, I'm 6'5", 250.
Yeah, it's stunning.
And these guys walk out, and it's like, oh, my God. Well, these are,
normally offensive linemen don't carry it as well as our offensive linemen do.
Right.
They're not only tall, but they wear it.
I agree. They spread it out. I totally agree.
Yes.
I totally agree with that. Yeah. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. Corey Clement's going to join us shortly on the program in studio. Jason Kelce today by phone at 9 o'clock. JB in Chestnut Hill this morning. What's going on, JB?
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, everyone.
What's up, JB?
Hey, tip is to ensure proper service. And, Joe, you need to tip at every event.
Even a buffet?
What about 20 bucks every time?
Well, that's ridiculous.
Nah, 20 bucks is a little bit out of hand. That sounds like somebody flexing for no reason.
So that's $5 every time at a buffet?
It depends. See, I think it's very complicated, right? I think it's more like it depends on your economical situation, because if you're at a buffet, chances are you're trying to save a couple bucks. You're also trying to pay it forward to the person. So I think $5 to $10 is like a sweet spot where you can feel comfortable.
Even if all they do is hand you one drink. Like, that's literally the totality of their...
I feel like five is incredibly generous.
I do too, John,
in that scenario. Fair.
I agree with you. And I'm not a cheap guy with this stuff. I don't want to be a jerk here.
Am I being a jerk? Are you a jerk?
Well, I am a jerk. I think you are. I'm already a jerk.
I think maybe... I'm a jerk too.
No, I don't know, man.
I can't stomach the idea of putting more than $5 down if I'm carrying a tray and I really don't.
John, here's a question.
Yeah.
How much was the buffet?
Well, I think it's 22 bucks, I think. Something like that.
I said $5 is more than fair. $5 is perfect. Right there.
Yeah, five is fine.
Yeah. Five is fine.
That's what I said. I would do five. Yeah.
All right. But there's no waiter.
All right, JB, are you in or are you out on Joel Embiid?
I'm just tired of the petulant child. It's over. Like, this has run its course. Like, he's not going to – I've never seen in the history of any sport a 7-foot, 300-pound man get in better shape as their years go on. He's going to deteriorate further. This system – This is the Jimmy Butler effect. Like, Jimmy Butler tried to keep a leash on him, and the Sixers got rid of the only guy that could control Jimmy Butler that could control Embiid. And I was there. I've seen it in person. Jimmy Butler would actually bang on his door and be like, "Hey, man, you got to get up. You're a lazy, fat SOB. You got to get moving." And he pushed back to the front office, and because he didn't like being told what to do. And I can tell you that from absolute fact.
Well,
so he's always going to be this person. He's great. He's lovable. He's a chucklehead. He puts funny things on the internet. Yeah, that's great. you're still a loser in the end because you're not really putting every ounce of effort into your $300, $400, $700 million contract. You need to be the guy. Otherwise, you're not the guy. You're just some slop.
Well, they obviously need him to be better. That's clear. He probably never will be. JB, do you understand my point, though, that I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet? Is that dumb?
I completely agree. You can't throw. It's like a...
By the way, especially like while you have Paul George, he's probably untradeable.
Right.
Like, Paul George, what's the point of...
How much do you have of Paul George?
No, I know, but you know, chances are he plays in 2 weeks. And, I mean, they got him under, what is it, a four-year contract, James?
Yep, four
And the
years.
Clippers only wanted to go to 3 years, and now they
and
look
that's
brilliant.
Why he's
of
a Sixer.
92 teams that have started the season,
another boneheaded move.
12.
Yeah,
this, six have made the playoffs.
Let me get to Paul George. All right, wait for this audio, JB. Here we go. Paul George, after his first game with the Sixers.
Another bonehead play.
Another one.
Hey, JB, give me an answer, man. The best female character ever in a sports movie.
How about the classic Gina Davis as Dottie Henson?
Big answer.
Big.
Yeah, Dottie Henson's a big answer. One. All right, 215-592-9494. Obviously, that'll be considered in the end as a finalist. That's got a shot to win. All right, hey, Corey Clement.
Go ahead.
I never knew what TIPS, that's what it stood for.
Oh, you did?
What? To ensure proper service.
Yes.
I don't know.
I didn't know that. Are you
that's
sure
what JB
about
just
that?
Said.
Oh,
I don't
God, think yes.
That's what JB just said.
Hold on. I don't think that's what it is.
That's what I always thought it was.
I think it might be happenstance that acronym matches up like that.
Well, I have no idea. Someone look it up for us.
Acronym of TIP, to ensure prompt service.
Yeah, that's what I was always told.
I've never heard this before.
I never knew that. That's pretty cool.
I don't know that that's real.
If true, that's cool.
Three receivers, now four. Shotgun, full. Second and 10. Bowles back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep. And is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
How about that? Corey Clement, third quarter of the Super Bowl. One of, many big plays that day. And for the first time ever in our show, John Ritchie's standing. I'm standing. Ben Davis is about to get up. His knees are a little creaky. We say thank you. So Corey Clement is in studio with us right now for the first time ever. Corey, good morning to you, pal.
Good morning, man. Good morning, Philadelphia. How's everybody doing?
Man, you got a big smile on your face, man. It must feel so cool to just hear that and know what it represents. It represents so much to millions of people, Corey. You affect it in a positive way other than those people in New England. You hurt them.
Yeah.
You brought such joy to millions of people.
Yeah. I mean, it was something that... from day one, just trying to make that team, it was something about it. And I thank Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman for even giving me the opportunity to step foot on that field.
Yeah.
Playing at NovaCare is like, there's history behind that whole thing. Guys in the locker room, the things you see on the wall, the things you want to be a part of, is something that you will never forget. I mean, going to sleep every night, it's like, what else can we chase? And it's like, oh my God. We're actually Super Bowl champions, but we still want more. So I'm still riding with the team, and I want to see something special this year.
You earned it. You deserve all the accolades. You really do. So, Corey, we'll do a deep dive on the Super Bowl and your career and the whole deal. But let's just start with the present. How are you? How's life? You know, how are you?
I'm great, to be honest. Got a chance to see my mom. Had dinner with them last night, mom and my brother. It's always good to see family coming back home for a second.
Of course.
And, living in Arizona, it's different. Looking at mountains all day, but
what made you decide to live there?
You know, when I finished with the Cardinals, it was like, no, why not? Just sit over here for a little bit, see some new things. I'm always in the East Coast area way too much, and it's just like, what else is out there?
It's very, very different.
It is different out there. Do you consider yourself finished? So when Kareem Hunt signed with the Chiefs a few weeks back, is that one of those ones you're like, damn, I wish that was me. I wish I got the call instead of Kareem Hunt. Are you still in the mindset to try to play? If your phone rings, you're ready to go?
The way I train, I'm always ready to go.
Good for you, man.
I'm always waiting for the next call. I mean, people ask. That's probably the hardest thing I got to deal with. It's like, they're like, when's the next call? And it's just like, I wish I had something to tell you, but.
How long do you stay? How long can you stay in that sort of limbo? Like, I don't know that I personally would have been able to take a step back in any way.
I'm sure.
No, like, because for me, it was important to have an itinerary, a plan where I knew I was going to be here working out. Okay, 4 days a week, I'll be doing this, and this.
Yeah.
That helps a lot. Right. I don't know that this, you know, not knowing would be something that I could maintain for an extended period of time. How long do you expect to be able to do it?
You know, when something's in, like, embedded into you, like, you're always going to want to keep striving for something.
Totally.
Like, I'll go until the wheels fall off. But the nature of the game, they look at you like, you know, you're past 30. It's just like, does he still have it?
Yeah.
I'm fresh as can be. I'm ready. And,
I still regret, I still think back and I wonder, man, maybe I should have waited a little longer before telling my agent, hey, I'm not trying anymore.
Right.
You know, like, I was quick to pull the plug, sort of.
And you got let go by two teams, right, John? The Eagles, and then who'd you go to?
I went to Cincinnati, and I failed my physical, at which point I said, I want to be able to play with my son when I'm 40.
Right.
And so this is the sign that I needed. I'm done.
Yeah.
Now, every once in a while, I'll wonder. Mm-hmm. I think I probably could have gone another year or two or three, especially with the changes in the rules and the way we guys get to walk through.
Yeah.
You know, it must be really tough to know when to say, hey, I'm completely done.
There's a lot of tough conversations that I don't want to go up against with my agent. It's just like, some things you just don't want to hear. You know, as a football player, you've been playing all your life. It's like, man, I got to the end of, not the end of the road, but we got to this topic now.
Sure.
And it's like, I was talking to my mom last night. She's like, it's going to be weird to not see you out there if this is your last year. And it's like, man, I've been doing this since I was five. And most of the guys really don't realize until that rug is pulled up under you, you got to look for something else.
When you don't have what Ben had, Ben, you went to the minor leagues, right? Am I remembering that right?
Yeah.
So how many years in the majors and then down in the minors for how long?
So I had seven in the big leagues, and then I go to the minor leagues, and it's like, brutal.
Yeah.
You know, but I was still playing, you know, for that and having that hope. But I feel for you. That's a tough spot.
Now, let me say this. I'm getting a little depressed here. I want to talk about Super Bowl.
Can I just say one thing, Corey, to you?
Yeah.
You have such a great voice so that when you do hang it up,
totally.
Radio is absolutely an option.
Yeah, that's right about that.
Appreciate it.
So too is Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I got my resume going, so let me know.
Dude, you walk in legend status, all right? You kidding me? Holy God.
I want to talk about some of the details of what we know so well about your career, that game, well, some of those plays.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna go one by one with some of the key plays in the game. But go ahead, John. Before we get to that,
I don't know that anyone ever fully, I don't know, voiced how amazing the touchdown catch was from a running back's perspective.
Yeah,
and I don't even know if I can call myself
Chris
a running
Collins
back.
Didn't want it to happen.
I love that you referenced
Probably
that.
Chris Collinsworth didn't want that to be a touchdown.
Unbelievable, man. Unbelievable.
I can't stress enough how difficult it is for a running back to be that far downfield. For a running back, that's a route that a running back runs. I don't know. If you run 100 routes, you run that one 2 out of 100 times, and one of them is just to pull a defender.
Exactly.
You're not getting the ball.
Right.
You have run that play a million times, you've never had it thrown your way, and then all of a sudden in the Super Bowl. Remember, like, as a back in the West Coast concept, they tell the quarterbacks, make sure the running back sees the ball leave your hand. The running backs can't catch, quarterbacks. Running backs, you don't throw the ball farther than 10 yards downfield to a running back, no matter what. And Corey Clement, a rookie, is running a wheel route in the Super Bowl, and that thing is thrown. It actually got thrown. I couldn't believe it.
It was beautiful, man.
Did you know going into the game that it was likely that was going to be thrown, or was that just like last page of the playbook? It was so unlikely.
So it's third quarter of a shootout at that point. Brady had just scored to start the second half, and then you guys come right back.
Yeah, it's certain things we always rip, and it's just like I was looking forward to that play, to be honest with you. But when there was triple coverage. I'm just like, nah, Nick, you probably shouldn't do it. And I'm like, I'm getting down the field a little bit. Guys are looking at me. And it's like, when Nick do it, I'm just like, no, he didn't. Yeah. And I'm like, this probably might get picked. No, okay, I got you, buddy.
That's so good, man.
But I thank him every day because I'm just like, you didn't have to throw that. And I'm like, this story could have been different.
It's wild,
this
man.
This story could have been way different.
Well, so it's so hard to catch a ball that's that far downfield. Right. As a back, you have not caught that pass but a few times.
You got to track that, too. That's not easy.
Not an easy
catch. It wasn't easy only because it was so bright in that stadium.
Mm.
And with the visor on, you're just like, somebody turn the lights down a little bit because the ball coming at you, just you see everything at the last second. So thank God it just...
That's wild, man. All right, so we're going to play the audio. Merrill's calls of some of these notable moments in the Super Bowl involving Corey. We're going to get to that coming up shortly. Yep. Your opportunity to weigh in on the phone lines, 215-592-9494. Reminder, Jason Kelce, who's usually with us in studio at this time, going to be by phone today at 9 o'clock. Jason traveling, busy schedule, obviously. So Jason by phone coming up in a half hour. Also, in an hour at 9:30, John, we meet the coaches for this year's Turkey Bowl. So we look forward to that, obviously, as Turkey Bowl is happening next week here on WIP. Matter of fact, 6 days from now, it's
going
to be
Camden going on.
Oh yeah. Camden Catholic and Paul the Sixth are going to be playing. And Corey, you almost went to Paul the Sixth, right?
Ooh. Well, yeah, about 10, 13 years ago.
Sure.
Yeah.
So they're going to be featured. We are broadcasting their game next Wednesday night right here on WIP. We do it. It's an annual tradition. Once a year, we broadcast a high school football game, typically on Thanksgiving.
Right.
But this year, because some of the games have been moved to Wednesdays, we're going to do it Wednesday night of next week. Okay. And we're going to have the coaches in studio with us in an hour.
I can't wait to broadcast my first game.
So let's talk about the broadcasting thing for a sec here. Mm-hmm. And then we'll get to the – because I do want to wrap some calls in here.
Yeah.
So do you desire to be a sports broadcaster? Is that something you'd see as the next step if you can do it?
I would love to be. Meeting new people, talking, bringing up new topics, I think is also healthy for the brain not to just stay idle all day just in your head.
Yeah.
I think what a lot of athletes tend to do, we sit in meetings all day. We don't really get to talk. And I think the best exercise we can do is talk – express our feelings. What do we see out there? And I think being on the talk show is also fun. You get to meet new athletes, meet new moguls, and it's like, what else can I take from you? What else can I keep learning?
Yeah, I'll say this from my standpoint, it's very fun. I mean, we're incredibly lucky to do it, and we bounce around with the different teams and topics. Look, John, we're in a tug of war today about Joel. No one's in a good mood. Like even me saying keep him for now, I'm not in a good mood about the Sixers. But you have interesting subject matters for the most part. The Philadelphia sports teams, other than the Flyers in recent years, have been above 500 typically in the postseason. Mm-hmm. And there's been a ton of talk about then we mix in some music stuff and movie stuff. And all right, let's get some calls in here. You're opportunity. And by the way, congratulations or thank you aren't the first words you say to Corey Clement. Wash your mouth out with soap. Let's go to Mike in Douglasville right now. Michael, good morning, pal.
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Doing great, Mike.
Doing great, man.
Corey, thank you so much, man. I love you, brother.
God bless you, brother. Thank you.
Yo, honestly, it's so cool to talk to you. When I coach baseball and a little bit of football here and there, and I constantly tell my players, you got to get more comfortable embracing what I call the oh crap moment, where you're not exactly expecting the ball to come to you, but you got to be ready for it regardless because it is coming to you.
When that
ball was thrown in the air, was that an oh crap moment for you?
Yeah, 50-50. I think in a Super Bowl, you can't be having too many oh crap moments because that game when it came out how it been. But Doug Peterson did a great job of making sure everybody stayed on task. There was some things off schedule, but that's what comes with life. That's what comes with football. So yeah, keep preaching to the kids that nothing is going to be 100% in the game, especially for one side. You got to keep battling and keeping the legs moving.
Absolutely. And What was like your and I'm completely doing an audible on my phone call because I had no idea I was actually going to get to talk to you.
Hey, buddy. Let's talk it up. Let's do it. What's up?
Wait, you want to blast Joel? Go ahead.
When you were in the huddle for when Nick Foles came up and said, Philly special, what was going through your head when you realized like you're going to get the ball here? The snap's coming straight to you. You got a
great question.
Yeah.
We actually. I'm sorry to cut you off. Yeah, we actually had the fundraiser 2 days ago.
Yeah.
For the Ortho Davis.
What a great night. That was great to see
that
you,
was Corey. Fun.
You guys being there, you get to hang out with Foles and Kelsey and Trey Burton. And a whole, I mean, it was, what a group.
And it was like, I see what Jalen Hurts go through. And like somebody said, man, his taking Jason Kelsey's snap is not easy as it looks. And I was like, it could have went left. And I'm thankful that, you know, I was able to have the calmness and just to stay under pressure in such a big moment. But it was like another day in the park. It was something you really can't overthink. And just catch the ball and pitch it to Trey and, like, let the rest be history.
Corey, do you have any idea why you on that play instead of, obviously, there's three options in that game. You got right. Jay and you've got LeGarrette.
Yeah.
Any, why you instead of them?
Not sure, but all I can do is thank the coaches. You know, Deuce Daly, always had a good, work ethic about him, making sure his players were correct. And everybody had their own niche. So I'm not going to just single out anybody, but I'm just thankful I was called upon the opportunity to execute it.
Don't you think it's incredible? Well, I think it's incredible, and I just want to compliment you for being so studious as a player that you would be capable as a rookie to take that job.
Mm-hmm.
The third down protection back role is one that normally that's an old head. Like that's a guy who's been around. It was Dorsey Levens at times.
Late
in his career. Yep. It was Deuce Staley at times late in his career. And Deuce became a coach. Deuce was a guy that I thought was like the biggest brainiac for X's and O's that I'd ever been around.
Seriously.
A rookie.
Yeah.
You must have exhibited that big brain as well. How did you get so far ahead of schedule as a rookie to be able to do that job?
When I look back into the room, I had so many guys in front of me that I can just learn from and pick from. Darren Sproles. Still, our draft pick, Donnell Pumphrey. And we brought in LeGarrette. We brought in Jay Ajayi. Wendell Smallwood. There's a list that just keeps going on, not even from that position group, but the way he had to stay after. And I'm just like, man, NFL days are long. If those who don't know, if you want to get ahead, those days you need to stay at least an hour, 2 hours after to really
digest
what
we're
learning.
So you would have meetings after the meetings?
Yeah. Deuce wouldn't play about that. He'll call you and make sure, do you really have this down? And I'm like, it's almost like your dad in a sense. And I'm just like, I appreciate it because when people stay on you, you actually work a little bit harder.
Well, so Deuce had walked the walk as a player. He really, yeah. I mean, he was
Deuce
a hell of a player,
was
man.
Brilliant.
He was.
Player.
He was.
Very intimidating. As a rookie, you're like, man, I don't want to mess up. I don't want to get on his bad side.
That's great. Hey, Mike, give me an answer. Best female character ever in a sports movie?
How about, what was her name? Gloria from White Man Can't Jump.
Oh yeah,
that's a good Rosie. One. We just saw her again on Friday.
We sure did. Did you watch the Tyson fight the other day, Corey?
That was terrible. I felt bad for Mike. I'm like, what are we doing? But and they got those purses together though.
they got them all right. All right. Do you have a best female character ever in a sports movie?
Sports movie? Oh, man, put me on the spot here.
And if you need time to think, you think about it.
I mean, it's pretty traditional. Who's the lady from Love and Basketball?
That was tremendous.
Sanaa Lathan.
God.
Well, that is an underrated great movie.
That is one of the most underrated movies of all time.
I've watched it at least 20 times.
Yeah,
that's how much I love it.
It's amazing.
It's a good, no disrespect. It's a good background show. It's a good tune in. And like, I know this part is coming up.
Yeah.
Great romance.
Dude, was it beat him in 1-on-1? What is that thing? And is it a 1-on-1?
Play before your heart type of deal.
Yes. Whatever that thing was. Yeah. Right. Oh my God.
Oh, that's a moment.
That gut wrenching scene.
If it only was like that.
Gut wrenching scene. All right, let's talk to Ed in Phoenixville. Ed, you're on with Corey Clement. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Yo, Ed. All right, Ed is not there, not ready to go. We go to Gary in New Jersey. Good morning, Gary.
Good morning, Corey. Thank you for your service.
Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Amazing somebody local to where I'm at to get that far. It was amazing to see you in the Super Bowl.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
Speaking of local, Mr. Ritchie, you know who the running back is for Fall to Six?
Tell me.
Dan Klecko's son.
How about that?
Oh, no way.
And Klecko's an assistant coach.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, I love Danny. That's cool.
We're going to try to get him on the pregame show.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, love Dan.
Yep.
You, you want to hear a funny story about youth sports and how crazy the parents are?
Let's hear it.
I actually coached in a championship game against him, and we lost. And the parents are giving me grief and saying I got outcoached. And I'm like, well, you know, that guy won 2 Super Bowls. So
well, he won three. He won 3 Super Bowls. But here's the thing, Gary. Let's not deflect. You were outcoached.
I mean, you know, in my defense, his dad was a Hall of Famer. My dad was an electrician, so if we got a wire in the house thing. I got him, dude, all day long.
There you go, Gary. All right, Gary, what do you got on the Sixer situation, man?
Oh man, I'm getting to the empathy part, man. It's just the same old story. And I was on board with the Olympics because, like, what else could we do? Like something's got to change in this guy. And I just for him to say that. That person who said it's a piece of bleep. No, you're the piece of bleep because you should be putting the work in.
Well, he should be. And Gary, my theory is whoever leaked it, they did it because it's another attempt to try to shame Joel into giving more. That's my theory.
There's nothing he can control about his injury issues, but you can control showing up on time and giving effort. There's no excuse for that.
Ben, you as a guy that was a pro. You were pro.
Yes.
You weren't the best player. You weren't Barry Bonds, but you were a pro. And it's got to drive you bananas.
And I showed up way ahead of time to do my job and to be prepared to do so.
Yeah. It's really a shame. I mean, Gary, this whole thing's going to probably
takes
end.
No skill or it takes no skill to show up on time.
Nope.
Yeah.
Zero.
Hey, Gary, give me a great answer. Female character in a sports movie.
I think it just came from that culture of losing all those years. But so since like 4 of my guesses got taken, I'm going to go with Renee Zellweger and Jerry Maguire.
That's a great answer.
So
it is a sports movie.
That's the thing.
I think it's close enough. Bit. I mean, the Tidwell
that's
stuff.
A sports movie.
Yeah. I mean, there's a Monday night football game.
The Monday night football game is awesome.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, I think it counts.
But they did kind of trick America because they marketed it as a sports
movie.
She's
just not that great a character.
But it is more of a love story, but so is In Love and Basketball.
It is.
It's more of a love story.
It is.
Is Rocky more of a love story than a boxing movie?
No,
not at all.
No.
I don't know, man. I mean,
it's part of it, but I think it's more boxing. Yeah. I think it's both.
But it's also a redemption story. But I'd say it might be a redemption story more than anything. Like he's trying to find himself thing. I mean, guys, he's literally a criminal in the first half of the movie.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Rocky is breaking.
These are character arcs and about stories about characters.
Here we go.
I'm saying it's a story about a character. Of course it is. It's a story about a character. Yes.
Corey, I deal with
boxing is the main part of the movie.
He goes into his college education.
My point is every movie is about characters going from point A to point B, whether it's a redemption or whatever. I'm saying, of course. It's about other things than just boxing.
Otherwise, it
would be boxing.
James, you know, Corey, how easy it is to pick on this guy, this subject matter over here.
I'm right all the time. Thank you, Corey.
James, how you doing on getting the celebs? Who are you supposed to get on the show this year?
Well, maybe Corey can help me get Nick Foles on.
There you go.
Maybe look at that. See, I'm working it right now. How about that?
How about you just. Didn't you just hang out with him on Tuesday?
You're like actually Nick Foles.
I built up on that stuff.
Yeah, good job.
You know what I felt bad, Corey? I felt bad about this on Tuesday. I didn't say this yesterday. I kind of forgot.
What's up?
So on Tuesday during the banquet, at one point, we're about to show the Philly special.
Yep.
And I go over to Nick, who's seated on the dais, and I pulled the microphone off the stanchion. I don't know what you call that. And I'm holding the microphone. I move over to Nick so I can talk to Nick over there. He's like 2 or 3 people over.
Yeah.
And I go, Nick, you want Philly?
Oh, God.
What does he say back to me? James, what is the proper answer to, if I say to Nick Foles, do you want Philly?
Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Corey, what did he say to me?
He said something like,
whatever way, it wasn't the right answer.
I was like, that wasn't right.
So I had to stop the proceedings during the banquet and say, Nick Foles, you answered it wrong. Like, you played Doug Peterson wrong.
I reprimanded the man.
So I had to tell him what to say, and then he said it, and it got awkward.
Yeah.
You should be thrown in jail for chastising Nick.
It came back up after that.
It did. He was a good supporter. I knew I could, you know, have some fun there. But I had to correct Nick Foles in the Philly special. It was very uncomfortable. Mm. All right, let's go through, Corey. We got 4 pieces of audio here. Yeah. And again, for everyone tuning in, Corey Clement is in studio with us right now. Jason Kelsey at 9 o'clock. And, of course, you can join us, 215-592-9494. We've got four pieces of audio selected from the game, Corey, three that primarily or very much feature you, and then, of course, the crescendo final play of the game. Let's start with it is late in the second quarter. A lot of people obviously think of the Philly special for all the notable reasons, but perhaps forget what set it up. Yeah. You had a catch and a run for the ages. Let's listen to the 55-yard catch and run as called by Merrill. Guys, this was big. I mean, without this, you know, maybe you got a punt before the half. Maybe you got seven less points. This was big. Frankly, I think it gets forgotten sometimes. This was a massive moment from Super Bowl 52.
It's third down and three. Holds back again. Holds looks. He floats it. He completes it. Across the 50. The 40. Across the 30, across the 20, still winning with the football, all the way down across the 10, as the pass Corey Clement. What a play.
What a play. All right, Corey, as you think back on that, take us inside that play and as it developed for you and what was going through your mind.
I knew they were in man coverage, third down. I love it. No, put a linebacker on me. Let's get cooking. he came off on a blitz. He thought I was going to be in pass pro. And he overshot it, and I'm just like, oh, boy.
So you leaked out?
Yeah, I went into the flat. I had a flat route, but I turned it up only because I'm like.
Why did you turn? Yeah, I didn't understand. Flat routes mean you turn the other way. Why did you turn downfield?
For some reason, I had a natural instinct to just say, I was hot at that point almost because he rushed through. I'm like. Well, this is a free release. So
this is just a feel thing at this point?
It's a feel thing. And I'm just like, I'm playing backyard football at this point. I'm over here.
Wow.
He tossed it up. I'm like, oh, perfect.
This is unbelievable to me. You're a rookie. You're out there and you're just going flying by the seat of your pants on field.
And Nick hasn't been the starting quarterback all year. You guys got to be on the same page. Right. He'd only played about five or six games.
Like, Nick expects you to turn the opposite way and look for the ball over your outside shoulder.
Yeah.
You turn it up because there's green grass there, and he's just saying, okay, let's go.
That's the best thing about him. He doesn't question anything. He goes off what he feels.
Man.
Majority of the time he's right. So I'm not even mad about that. I am mad
That's
about this play.
Three.
I should have kept left. I probably would have scored on this one.
Yeah, but if you do, there's no Philly special.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all worked out. Right.
And by the way, you give the ball back to New England with enough time, Brady probably comes down and puts a seven on the board.
Yeah.
So well done.
And you got to be a part of the Philly special, too.
That's
wasn't
right.
You're enshrined forever in that, too, you know?
Not mad at that.
All right, it is amazing when you think of things like that. Like, obviously, your objective, once you get close, is to score. But it worked out, honestly, it works out not scoring because it makes it harder for Brady to score.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
There's so much that's wonderful about this play.
Yeah.
One that people probably don't talk about often is the wherewithal to switch the ball.
Yeah,
in the open field, like
Deuce,
this
Deuce
is a
like
clinic,
that.
Man.
Yeah, there's, that's what I was kind of scared to do
clinic.
That. I was scared to do that, honestly.
And you, but you did, and it ended up paying off,
right.
Because you were able. You get the big stiff arm. You're fending guys off because you actually did. It was perfect the way you handled the ball.
Love it, love it. All right, let's get to the next big play in the game. So the Eagles get in the red zone. But obviously, first, second, I don't remember them all, but first, second, and third down don't lead to a touchdown. So now it's fourth and goal, and it's the one-yard line. Chris Collinsworth and Al Michaels are saying, got to kick a field goal. Now, we all knew, Corey, you guys weren't going to kick a field goal because we'd seen enough.
We got down there.
It was.
We're doing
you know,
something down there.
And clearly now everybody would go for it, but 7 years ago, maybe most teams would kick a field goal.
Yeah.
But Doug.
That whole season we talked about Doug, remember?
Yeah.
It was like, wow, fourth down.
It wasn't even the
changing of it. Like, that was the beginning of the change in the NFL.
Now, Corey, real quick before we get to the actual Philly special, can you remind us, if you remember, what play was going to be run before the timeout was taken and Nick came to the sidelines?
Oh, we were going to run a speed option.
With Nick rolling out, right?
Yeah,
that's right.
Out.
He said that the other day.
It would have been from pistol. We would have did speed option right. And for some reason, I don't know how it got changed, but Nick said this is probably the best call.
That's right. John, Nick joked about that the other day, saying him as a slow quick. He's not Steve Young or Joe Montana, you know, classic.
But it's almost
with
giving
that
it
play.
Away, though. If you run a speed option, you know he's probably going to pitch it.
Right.
Well, yeah, all right. So let's get – so bottom line is the timeout is taken. Nick comes to the sideline, makes the recommendation. Doug, the proper answer is, yeah, let's do it. That's the proper answer. And so it gets run, and it shocks America and thrills Philadelphia. And, of course, Corey was the second person to touch the play. Jason Kelce snaps it to him. Corey Clement catches it, and it's one of the most amazing things of all time.
Foles in the gun. Lovett to his right. Now lines up behind Foles. Foles moves to the right. It goes directly to Clement. Clement reverses it, and the pass goes into the end zone.
To Nick
and
Foles.
It is a touchdown by Nick Foles.
Unbelievable, man.
So you got to love Merrill, man. You got to love Merrill. always such a great voice, man.
Classic.
Makes it always better.
And that's a hard one to call because the ball touches four different people in about 2 seconds. Right. So I can understand him not, like, Trey Burton, who's got the ball? Does Ben Davis have the ball? All of a sudden, Nick Foles has the ball in the end zone for the touchdown. All right, so Corey, take us inside that play. Mm-hmm. Huddle, execution, aftermath, floor is yours.
Just getting into the huddle was almost like another walk in the park. It was look at your quarterback and see what he's got going in his head. He had a different look. He just like, we got some up our sleeve on this one. And you got to love Lane. He was always ready for something else to happen. He said, oh, this is my play where I got to act like I don't hear you. And
really?
Yeah. Lane!
He actually said that. He asked, hey, this is the play I need to be.
No, you can tell when Lane has got something in his head. He said he got that look about him. I'm like, yeah, Lane, it's about to go down. It's about to go down.
Wow. Yeah.
Because we only repped it twice, and I'm just like, this could hit or miss. And
that's amazing.
You only repped it twice.
Wow. I didn't realize that. That's wild.
Once before we left, you know, I think we spent almost 2 weeks out in Minnesota. And practiced at their college facility or something like that. Ran it one time there, and it was Doug said, "Okay, that's fine." I think when you over rep some, you kind of take away the integrity of the play. It doesn't feel natural. So I think our third time was, you know, third time's a charm. You know
sure.
what they say.
Yep. You know what's often not mentioned about that play? Obviously, Foles was wide open, and it was a pretty easy one. I mean, Trey Burton being college quarterback helped, but. Torrey Smith was also open. Like, New England was completely overmatched, which made it so. John, the pencil well guy with the acted. Pencil on his ear
for a second.
That was
former Eagle Matt him. Patricia.
Yeah. Like, they didn't guard anybody on that play. All right, let's just get that straight.
But it was an incredible play. It was so smart the way it was. You know, pre-snap, the way that Nick was acting like something had gone wrong,
and he wandered
off.
You totally.
Know, the direct snap to Corey was because Nick had wandered off. Hey, guys, there's something. And then all of a sudden, boom, Corey's got the ball.
Everybody had to do some acting on that.
Yeah.
I gave a little.
Sure.
I said, what are you doing? Like, if you look at the video slightly, I throw my hand up like, whoa.
I have to go
in acting mode. I'm like, what is he doing?
I don't remember
that.
That's great.
You added some extra mustard on there?
Yeah, mustard on it. Yeah,
good supporting actor.
Come on now.
That's getting crazy.
Oh, I see you. I'm looking at it right now. You're putting your hand up. You're in your two-point stance, and you got your hand quizzically.
Yeah.
Wait, what's happening?
What's going on?
That is so good.
I don't get it.
Got a little mustard on the side.
I think, Corey, another thing you had to do is you had to make sure you passed the ball backwards and not forward. Because Trey Burton's coming around.
Right.
If you pass it forward, then the ball can't go forward again.
It's just a dead play after that. And I'm getting cursed out after that.
Totally. So you execute that. It's an absolute beyond all-timer. Sal Powell said the other day, he believes it's the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl.
That's crazy.
He said he thinks it's the greatest play in the history of the Super Bowl, the Philly special. And it is made, I'd say, a little bit more special by the fact that the announcers are like, they got to kick a field goal here. All right, let's listen to the next massive play that Corey's involved in. Because, of course, major role, you know, and the pie was split. You know, Corey, you and Jay and LeGarrette, you guys are all playing a lot. But the touchdown in the third quarter was massive. After New England, it started with the touchdown to begin the third quarter and cut that lead from 10 to, I guess, probably 3. Right on back, and the drive ended 22 yards. It felt almost like a bomb, even though it was 22 yards, back of the end zone. So Nick probably threw it about 40 yards.
Yeah.
Here is the moment, third quarter, when Corey scored a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Three receivers, now four. Shotgun, Foles. Second and 10. Foles back again. He's looking. He's pumping. He is going deep, and is it a touchdown? I'm awaiting the signal.
It is.
It is. Touchdown. It goes all the way down. A 22-yard touchdown to Clement.
All right, Corey, take us inside this one, man. What a play. What a moment.
Still gives me chills to this day.
Did you jump offside?
I don't know.
Good answer.
But anything after, you can't take it away now.
Did you see a flag, John? I don't think so. All right.
I was hoping they didn't catch that.
You could have been called, man.
Yeah, I think I'm glad I kept a slight horizontal motion, because if I had it went forward, oh, it was over.
So that was pre-snap motion? Were you in motion?
Yeah, we'll call it pre-snap motion. Yeah.
That's what we're going.
So, Corey, after you catch the ball,
yeah.
But of course, you know, the feet and the timing and the, you know, is there a juggle, is there not? And how nervous were you? And I don't remember how long it went. I'm sure it was at least a minute, if not two or three.
Yeah.
How nervous were you that they might not allow it? Because it was close.
Yeah.
And I do think what the commissioner said earlier in the week when he, at his press conference, he basically, in a nutshell, said, I want to stop seeing some of these things overturned. We got to start awarding catches that sometimes the replay booth aren't calling catches. And I actually think that might have influenced the call.
Yeah.
How nervous were you for that minute or two while they were deliberating?
I say for about 30 seconds, and then I looked at it myself. I'm like, I don't care what none of y'all say. The caught it, switched the ball over, toe was dragging. I seen some pebbles come up, and I'm like, there's 2 feet. So if
it was really about control from what I remember, yeah. Right? It was about when did you first gain and not lose control, and at that moment were the feet down. That was the tricky part.
Had you ever been in a were his feet down or not scenario previously?
Yeah, backyard football, that's about it.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is the first time this is ever happening, and you're in the Super Bowl, man.
When you give yourself your own scenario.
You're in the end zone in the Super Bowl against Tom Brady and the New England Patriots.
It's one of
and the ball is in your hands.
Yeah. It's funny, some of those things you simulate as a kid, like, you find a little patch of grass on the right side, 2 feet in, did they call it?
Corey, the problem is that's where my football career ended, and that's where guys like you and John, your football career began.